Well, hey, folks, listen, it is always an honor for me to be able to share just a little of what God has placed in my heart, or sometimes just some stuff that's running around in my heart, and it is probably at this time that there's just, with all that's going on in our nation and in the world, what happened in Charlottesville and all of that just being a reflection of the condition of our hearts. And you would think that we have, over the years, especially in this country, in America, that we have gained some ground, a nation that's, you know, under God, one nation, that over the years, in terms of our relationships outside of our immediate circle of people that look like us, that speak the same language that we speak, or that share the same culture that we share, and so on, that we would learn to appreciate and live together. And even if we can't live together, that we would make room for each other. But, you know, the government, no laws, no legislation can bring about the change or the renewal that is necessary. I think that there was some ground that was lost, and nothing that can come from the White House or from our state legislators or from any of our political leaders can bring about the necessary change or the renewal that we need in order to move forward in unity, and at the minimum that we would seek peace. The Bible says, follow after peace with all men. Follow after peace. That peace should be our, should be leading us. That should be what we lead with. That should be the beacon that, you know, when all is said and done, that would be the litmus test as to how we would interact with our fellow humans, not just Americans. And that would be, is this going to bring about peace, you know? But so I think that we would, as believers, do our nation and this world a great, great injustice if we did not speak up, if we did not become a part of this conversation. The change that has taken place in us needs to take place in this world. In Romans, listen, this is what Paul said. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and what's the will of God. You see, there has to be this renewal, this of our minds. There has to be this transformation that takes place. And you cannot legislate transformation. I mean, I am a pastor. I love God with all my heart. But I tell you, one of the things that keeps me from going over the speed limit is that I don't want to get a ticket. But that ticket doesn't, But the fear or the trepidation that I might have about getting a ticket, it didn't change the condition of my heart. I still want to go fast, and even if I'm going the speed limit or below it, in my heart I'm going fast. I promise you. You cannot legislate renewal, and we've gotten away. Some of the arguments are, you know, have been, you know, that we need to remember our history and respect and honor that. And the more important thing is that we know how to move forward in our future, and that our history doesn't become an impediment between us and the legacy of those people who have gone before us. Some died and made tremendous sacrifice so that we could enjoy the benefits of this great democracy in this nation that we live in. You might say, well, what does that have to do with anything, Pastor, when it comes to the gospel? And I'm not preaching any nationalism or national, but I have to speak to the condition of my immediate surroundings, because I believe that if I don't preach about what's going on around us and what's happening right now, no matter how loud I preach, or no matter how profound I might come across, if I'm not talking about what is going on now, I'm not really saying anything. So I want us to know that even the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, that our values are not shaped by the values of this world. And we're not, you know, so all of the arguments that are here, that we hear rather, and that are going on right now in this present time, I mean, our filters should be other than. We should not allow our filters to be clogged by that. We have a biblical lens. Our filter is the Word of God. And so we don't want to be, if we try to use the arguments of this world, then we conform to that value system. And the argument is very simple, that God created every man and every woman in His own image. And every one of us, red, black, yellow, brown, white, it does not matter. Every one of us is valued and brings value because He breathed in us and He made us a new creation. I mean, He made us a living soul. So we say, oh, we want to change race relations and we want to change this. But you can't just change parts of us. We can't just change parts of us that are wrong. It's just like when people often ask me when they want to work out, and they ask me for advice about, I want to change this body part, I want to lose weight here, I want to. You can't spot reduce. If you're going to change, you got to change your whole body. You can't just change your stomach, or you can't just change your arms or your legs or whatever it is that you want to change about yourself. You got to change your whole body. And so man's condition, the hatred that we see, the violence and the vitriol that we hear on the television and the radio and that we read in text, all of that stuff is a result of the whole condition of our nation and of the world. I think we're just a microcosm of what's going on in the entire world. And so we can't just change parts. People say, you know, like I said, they just want to change parts. But you got to, if you want to change something about yourself, you got to change your whole self. We don't live our lives in silos. And because we don't live our lives in silos, we can't just change one single part of ourselves. Because the real issue is beyond the symptoms that you see. The real issue about the problem with the belly or the legs or the arms, that's not the real issue. Is that there's something going on with the nutrition, or there's something going on with the lack of exercise. That's the real issue. So you can address the symptoms, but they're not going away. And legislation and laws, they address the symptoms, but God cuts to the heart. It is the condition of a man's heart. The Bible says it is out of the heart that the issues of life flow. You know, that's where the violence comes from. That's where the deceit comes from. That's where the selfishness comes from. That's where the greed comes from. The disregard for the value of other people. That's where that comes from. Some people might say, well, what do we do? How do we change this? Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We need renewal. We need a recommitment to what these truths that we hold to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I mean, you know, God made every man from the same dirt, from the same lump of clay came all men. And we need a renewal to that acknowledgement and to that idea that we all get our value from our Creator, Father God. And that no matter whether, no matter the color of your skin or the level of education or the size of your bank account or what language you speak, that your value is not predicated on any of those things. It is rather predicated on the fact that a loving God breathed something of himself in you. That each one of us has this spark of divinity, that God has breathed his own breath in us and made us living souls. And that's where we get our value. And, you know, there are oftentimes people will default to the fact, they say, well, we're, you know, I'm an American. America's a great country. But you know what? Being a part of something great doesn't mean that you're great. Nor will it make you great if you're just alone for the ride. See, you can go out there and wave flags, or you can banter about being an American, and oftentimes people even equate that with being a Christian. But being American doesn't make you great. Being a part of a church, a local church, doesn't make you a Christian. Being a part of something great doesn't make you great. It doesn't mean that you're great. So many people are in this country, and I believe that this is a great country, but so many people are just along for the ride. We need to have a voice. We need to be a part of the conversation and not be afraid to speak love and light and truth into the conversation. I mean, we love comfort, but this is a wonderful, wonderful nation. And I've been outside of the country. At the top of this hour, Brother Mel asked me about my recent trip to Haiti, and it just makes me so appreciate being an American, and so appreciate the graces that God has blessed me with in this country. But we cannot, and I love the comforts of that, but we can't love comfort so much that we're willing to accept conditions when they are contrary to what God intends for us. Because God wants to get you there. Even in your personal life, you got to say, am I going to allow a little difficulty, a little challenge, some obstacles to keep me from getting there, wherever there is for you. You see, that's what being here. See, if you stay here, you're comfort. You're in your comfort zone. You're comfortable. And God's trying to get you there. And you can't be here and there at the same time. So which means that you've got to give up your comfort here in order to get to your destiny there, in order to get to whatever the objective or the goal is. And even in your personal life and as a nation, in order for us to get there, I don't know if it's necessarily back there, because I don't know that we've ever achieved any level of reconciliation amongst all of the peoples of this nation that would put a smile on God's face. Because, listen, it breaks my heart, so I know the heart of God is broken over the things that we've seen and the way they've escalated over these last, in this last season. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, look to opportunities to be a part of the conversation, and that you will bring a renewal because you have been renewed. And I appreciate you. Thank you.